There's a Latin axiom that says, lex orandi, lex credendi, lex vivendi. That means the law of prayer is the law of belief, is the law of the way we live. And that really, what does that really mean? All this la, la, la. What does that mean? La, la, la. That means that what we pray is what we believe. What we believe impacts how we live. That's why the faith has gone so down the tubes, because of the way we pray. Maybe we don't pray at all. And that means we don't believe at all. And then that means what? That means we act like we don't believe. And how does that act? That means we act like there's no rules, right? And then you pray only for something. You pray only to God when you want something emergency. Well, then what? That means you believe God's only there for emergency, and that God doesn't really care about your everyday actions, doesn't want to help you in your behaviors. And then therefore what? That means you act however you want. Okay, so we've seen this. Like, let's say we pray, like, the Eucharist is really God. We therefore believe that the Eucharist is really God. Therefore, we live like the Eucharist is really God. You see where I'm going with this? All right. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because obviously there's a problem in the church, and it has to do with what we believe and how we live. Obviously, this is obvious. But now there's something that I want to do. I want to apply this same Latin axiom to the activity that took place in Fatima, Portugal. I'm not talking about the messages and, like, you know, did the Pope consecrate Russia? Did he not consecrate Russia? Look, go with whatever the church says. And you go with what the church says, you'll be fine. Back to the Fatima thing. Let's apply lex orandi, lex credendi, lex vivendi to the not so much the messages, but what happened there at Fatima. The lessons being taught at Fatima. Because Our Lady told the three seers that at Fatima, the faith of the church would be preserved. What did she mean by that? I don't know. I can't encourage you enough. Please, if you do this once a week at least, make yourself. This can change your life. Go and Google or whatever, go to the EWTN website like I mentioned before, and look at the actual things that occurred and see if you applied that type of prayer to your life, how your life would be different. So what am I talking about? First and foremost, the angel appeared to the children. He had the host. He elevated the host with a chalice, and he left it suspended in midair. And what did that angel do? He lied prostrate on the ground, face down. He taught the children to do the same. Why? What is that teaching us? It's teaching us about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. If you look at the book of Revelation, the 24 elders throw down their crowns, and they prostrate themselves before the Lamb. If you look at all the angels and the saints in the book of Revelation, they are on their faces. The angels are on their faces singing, "Holy, holy, holy." Now, what if we prayed like that? What if we prayed like Jesus was really in the Eucharist, and the Jesus in the Eucharist was really God and not like my buddy? What if we really prayed like that? Guess what? We'd really believe like that. We'd really act like that. We would really act like Jesus in the Eucharist. When somebody is sick, we'd bring them to the Eucharist. That's why there's no miracles in the Eucharist, because who comes to the Eucharist to get healed? Nobody, right? Except those who already, like, offered themselves as victim souls. And at that point, it's kind of like, no, it's too late. You wanted this. You asked for suffering. You asked for the cross, so here's your cross. I hope you get through it. So that's an important thing to realize. The second important thing to realize, every single prayer that the Blessed Mother and the angel requested from these children was what? Prayers of reparation. Oh my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I beg your pardon for all of those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. Oh my God, and you repeat it three times. And then what? Oh my God, I offer you this most precious body. Okay, all of these, I offer this sacrifice in union with this, you know, for the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Okay, so what is this? These are all prayers of reparation. So imagine if what I pray is what I believe impacts how I act and how I live. So I'm praying like Christ is really present in the Eucharist. The one sacrifice said once and for all happens in the Mass. And Christ is still really, truly, and substantially present in that host, in that precious blood. I'm going to treat it with such great respect. I'm going to visit Jesus every day. I'm going to have such great love. And if I'm always praying these prayers of reparation, if I'm always doing acts of reparation, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to start doing acts of reparation if I'm always praying about reparation. Those souls who are praying these Fatima prayers every day, they're so sacrificial. When you fast every day, that's going to impact the rest of your day. That's going to impact how you treat everybody. That's going to impact your self-will and your self-love. Okay? Okay, so what am I proposing here? So if we believe, and we all must believe in this axiom, it's an axiom proposed by the church, and the cardinals are always quoting it. It's in the catechism. Lex orandi, lex credendi, lex vivendi. What I pray impacts what I believe. What I believe impacts how I live. And this is why it's not okay for Father Doubting Thomas or whatever to change the prayers in the Mass and just go say whatever he wants, because that impacts the faith of the people. And we all know that if you impact the worship of God, you can subvert the faith from the inside. You don't have to try and ruin it from the outside with all these outside criticisms. You deny them the heart of the gospel. What is the heart of the teachings of the church? The source, the summit of our faith is Jesus in the Eucharist. Right. So do you believe this as a Catholic? So we're going to do a little test right now. You believe that Jesus is the source and the summit of our faith. That, what does that mean? That means we know that the faith is the most important aspect of our entire life. And the most important aspect of our entire life, therefore, is Jesus, and Jesus is the Eucharist, and he is God. Therefore, the Eucharist is the source and summit of our life. Agreed? Agreed. That means Jesus is the most important thing. You won't miss Mass for anything that's optional? Huh? No? Okay, I'm glad we agree. Now, second, we believe this. We're saying we believe this. Hopefully we pray like this. The article that says, Lex orandi, lex credendi, lex vivendi. We must pray like this. So what am I suggesting you do? What am I practically demanding you to do? Human reason demands it, because it just does. If we have nobody has faith in the Eucharist and it's for a reason, then we are morally obliged to take our time to examine how our prayers will bring back this real faith in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. So what are we going to do that's going to help? I could say do daily holy hour. Hopefully you're already doing that. I hope. But, you know, we're all different. We're all different places in our life. I know people who are young people who do daily holy hour. They do daily Mass, they do daily rosary, they go weekly confession. Very rare, although this should be the norm. But guess what? It doesn't happen in our Catholic schools anymore. Why? Because they've been infiltrated with stupidity and ignorance and heresy. If not by word, it's not by so much by what they say, it's by what they don't say, what they don't do. Okay, so anyways, what am I asking you? So when you pray your rosary, you just told us we were not going to talk about the rosary. I never said I wasn't going to talk about the rosary anymore. This video is not about the rosary. Well, it's tied in. How can I not talk about it? It's so powerful. It has to do with Fatima. And it has to do with your daily prayer life. And it has to do with the Eucharist. So guess what? This is what we're going to do. Collectively, you and I, and everybody we know, when we encourage the rosary, when we pray our own rosary, do this. Only two things. It's not going to... If you can just do this one thing every single day, even if you don't say the 20 decades, just say your 5 decades, okay? This is how desperate and how powerful this will be. This is how desperate I am and how powerful this will be. And it'll make us all saints. What is it already? Just get to the point. Okay, I'm getting to the point. Just calm down, all right? Relax. So, meditate on the mysteries, focusing on Christ's real presence in the Eucharist. Relate every single mystery to Christ's real presence in the Eucharist. When you go to the Perpetual Adoration Chapel and you're praying your rosary, focus on what is occurring in this mystery. The same Jesus is right here in front of me. He's right there. So when you're praying your rosary during Mass, if you're in the Latin Mass and you don't have a little booklet, or even when you're distracted and all this nonsense is going on, people are bringing up the gifts and all that jazz, and they're shaking hands, what do? You meditate on the mystery of the rosary. Which one? Anyone, pick one, whatever one you're on, and focus on, this is the same Jesus. This is the same Jesus who resurrected from the dead. This is the same Jesus who was scourged at the pillar. This is the same Jesus who turned water into wine. Focus on that, the Eucharist, even when you're not in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. Meditate on the mysteries. This same guy is alive. The same guy is God, and this God is here, and he's real. Keep thinking that. Keep praying that. Every single rosary, if Our Lady truly is going to lead us to Christ, and our devotion to Mary is going to lead us to Christ, we must take these necessary steps, because the devil has pulled this seed out. Now when we meditate on the mysteries, before in our Catholic culture, it automatically, we just think of the Eucharist and Jesus' presence there. Now we actually have to do it. Instead, we render the Word of God like if it's some dead letter about a guy who lived a long time ago. No, this guy's alive today, baby. What's the second thing do? At the end of your decades, I am not the Blessed Mother appearing to say this, but I can assure you that if I die, I will appear to you and I'll tell you to say this. And the Blessed Mother might be appearing to somebody and saying this hasn't been approved yet, but pretend like this is the Blessed Mother saying it. I guarantee you she's 100% behind me on this one. After every decade, after you say your Oh My Jesus, pray this prayer. O Sacrament Most Holy, O Sacrament Divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. Add that prayer to the end of each decade. Do it. I guarantee you, your Eucharistic faith will be like sky high, baby. All right, God bless you. God love you. Encourage everybody the same exact thing. This is how we're going to fix the church. Encourage the rosary and encourage them to meditate upon Jesus Christ's mysteries and that this same Christ is alive here in the Eucharist. It'll increase your faith so greatly if you're learning about the proclamation of the kingdom and this same guy who proclaimed the kingdom is sitting there waiting to give you the power to proclaim the kingdom. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm in my car and it's really hot right now. It's in Houston. All right, peace. God bless you. God love you. I'll be praying for you. You pray for me. Let's go right now. Look up the Fatima stuff. Look up. Don't look up, you know, people's interpretations of it. Just look at what happened. What did the angel say? What did Mary say? Go over this over and over and over again. She took a 7-year-old to hell for crying out loud. Okay, God bless you. God love you. I'm sorry.